You're welcome to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We've been there. It's like 1616 in the Pew Bibles, something like that. This is the last message from this chapter. It's called Transform to God's Will. Romans chapter 12. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about being a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. To be transformed and not conformed. Remember that? Transformed, not conformed to the world. We are all being shaped. What is shaping you? So, we be transformed, we renew our minds, so that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to ask you today to engage your mind with Scripture. Listen to the words that were preached through Paul, to the church at Rome, to us now today. So I want you to engage your mind and your heart, seeking transformation so that you can be transformed to God's will. Last week, we talked about diversity in the body. We're to think of ourselves with sober judgment, not too high, not too high. Like, I'm better than them, or I deserve this and not them, or look at me and not them. Sober judgment. In Christ, we form one body belonging to the others, and we're gifted in order to put God on display. His power works in us for His glory. So today we're looking at this message, which is just startling to me. Because we know something about the person who wrote it, and we know something about the context to which he wrote it to. It screams without saying it, of the power of the kingdom of heaven. It's found in love, sincere love. It's best exemplified in Jesus Christ, His grace, His mercy, His sacrifice, His truth, His submission, His welcoming us to be a part of His kingdom. That's different than the power of earthly kingdoms. Saul was a zealot. He was full of zeal. Zeal, 100%. He was intent on using his power, his zeal, to eradicate those who thought differently than him. But he was transformed by Jesus and taught a radical new truth concerning the evil among us and the power of love. It's a timely message for us right now, today. I pray you have ears to hear this message from the Lord. Romans 12, verse 9, Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I'm reading this and I'm getting like, oh my gosh, Paul, that's a lot of things already. He just keeps going. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Maybe if that's the one that lands for you when you're driving down 422 this week, I pray you have a safe travel. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Yes, easy, right? Unless we're bitter, unless we're sad about them. We rejoice with the Grables on the birth of a new granddaughter. Yes, we celebrate. That's amazing. We mourn with those who mourn. We are aware of what's going on in people around us. Live in harmony with one another. That's hard even in our own homes at times. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, this is the upside down kingdom here. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. I never ever fully understand that last phrase. But if I have burning coals on my head, I'm not comfortable, and I'm likely to change where I'm at and what I'm doing. Maybe Paul's saying, maybe by returning good for evil, they might rethink their position and change and shift where they're at. I don't know. Finally, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul, who was trying to wipe out followers of Jesus, giving his permission even to kill Stephen. A few years later, he's like, oh, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a transformation in Paul. I'm going to just talk to you about don't be overcome by evil. Now, that's a heavy, evil, talking about evil around us and among us is a heavy subject. I don't want to belabor it. I don't want to add to it. I'm going to speak into evil a little bit with the hope that we can recognize it and not let it overcome us. When we talk about evil, we inevitably, you and I, come face to face with our failures and are forced to face our blind spots. It's also, when dealing with evil, we recall how evil has touched us from others. When we do this, while we're talking about the evil that's happening in the world or to us or even from us, I want us to do so while we rest in Jesus Christ, sheltered under his protection. He is able. He is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. So don't be overcome by evil. It's a timely message to us. I'm going to say especially so in this land that we live in, our land right here in the land of great freedom. Why? Because evil is often confused with good. And in our great land, there are few limits on free speech allowing anyone's voice to be projected. So I want to give you just a bit of encouragement from a modern day example before we go on. This is from China, Sister Tong. She had recently been released from prison after serving 6 months for hosting an unregistered house church meeting in her home. You know that Bible study that's happening across the street, right? Like a church, Christian gathering meeting? In some places around the world, that's illegal. And they can be in prison for doing that. This is from the Voice of the Martyrs. When they asked her to talk about her time in prison, they expected to hear about hardship, discomfort, and suffering. But her response surprised them. She says, oh, yes, that was a wonderful time. She was not overcome by evil. So if Paul's message applied to the church under first century Rome, it certainly applies to the experience of evil in our circumstances. In the first century, you've heard of the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. It was a peace that was built upon the fear and the power of the Roman sword. People that stood out and said whatever they wanted to say in the public area, that could be silenced immediately by a Roman sword. Christ's followers were also used to provide entertainment in the arena, fighting wild beasts. And they experienced severe persecution by being blamed by Emperor Nero for the great fire in 64 AD. It burned most of the city. He blamed it on the Christians. We don't have any of that. And yet we do have evil. Our setting is different, but the truth remains. Do not be overcome by evil. Technology connects us to the world, so we can be exposed immediately to the evil that's happening. Just turn on the nightly news. The evil that's happening in Philadelphia, the evil that's happening across this country. and around the world. We know that there are people being persecuted in countries, Nigeria, just because they're Christians. You know why? Acts of evil are more likely to gain the headlines than acts of goodness. Evil actions catch our awareness and they sell. I've heard the phrase conflict entrepreneur recently. I didn't know that phrase, but they said it's someone that uses TV, radio, or a podcast. They use an evil act to attempt to boost their audience. Of course, you can be overcome by the evil just by listening to your news feed and things around you. And you get like, oh my gosh, there is so much evil in this world. Our message is, do not be overcome by evil. We can be overcome through our experience of evil, as we too are not immune to receiving or giving sinful actions. Have you ever been there? So ashamed of what you've done, the evil act that you did that you just felt like you couldn't go forward. Our response to evil is to do good in the example of Jesus. If you feel overcome by evil, you might become hopeless. What's the use? There's no hope. This world is so evil. You might even fall into despair. You read about it in the Psalms. You might say, I don't care anymore. And then you go along with the evil. Reacting to evil with evil only pushes the evil person or the enemy deeper into their ideology. Evil. Here's a few thoughts on why we have the problem of evil in the world. Evil is a force that opposes God and his work of righteousness in the world. A force that opposes God and his work of righteousness in the world. We don't want to oppose God. We want to follow him and bring him glory and work with him. And we could just put sin in there. Sin is one of those things. Why is there evil in the world? Well, there is an evil one who opposes God. Scripture talks about this person. We read about him first in Genesis 3:1, where disguised in a serpent, Satan says, "Did God really say?" One of the ways that the enemy of God, who opposes God, is he's a great deceiver. He uses deception. He uses deception to get people to be confused about what God's will is. In Romans 8, Paul talks about this a lot. People are deceived to pursue flesh, the desires of the flesh, over the desires of the Spirit. The desires of the flesh. You can read Romans 8. We are all challenged with being deceived to overemphasize the temporary over the eternal. All of us, we live in a temporary world right now as eternal beings. These tents that we're in, they'll fade, but our soul is eternal. And we'll go to an eternity, either with God or away from God. And Jesus came to bring that eternity to us and allow us to come into that. We've crossed over from death to life, it says from John, as we believe. We confuse earthly kingdoms temporary with the kingdom of heaven, which is eternal. How does this grab us here? One way is through money. We spent so much effort and energy and thought about making money. Now, we have to make money to live in the eternal, but it can sneakily deceive us into becoming a god. Over the eternal view of money, which says, don't store up treasures here, but store them up in heaven. We can confuse, and the world confuses, and our culture confuses the temporary idea of sex, sexuality, with God's beautiful eternal plan for sexuality. We could go on. We could talk about different things, including politics. And here's some examples that help us to not be deceived with the temporary over the eternal. You know, when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, one of the temptations was that Satan The great deceiver took Jesus himself up onto a very high place, and he said, look out. Look at all the kingdoms, referring to the earthly kingdoms. Look at them all. You can have these if you just bow before me. And I wonder if Jesus was looking through time, right, and saw all the great empires that have existed. Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, right? All through history, right? Every 250 so years, there's a new power, word power that comes up. All of these, just worship me. And Jesus rebuked him. It says, no. Jesus said to Pilate in John 18:36, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. There's a whole lot of people that are fighting for earthly kingdoms. And they'll do whatever it takes for those earthly kingdoms. They don't care. We're supposed to think and have our allegiance to a higher kingdom. The enemy deceives us. He also steals. We're talking about why there is evil. Why is there opposition in this world? We're told that this can help teach and rebuke and change and discipline us. Sometimes we hear it, but the thief comes along to steal it. Matthew 13:19 says, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And in Luke 8:12, the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. There's a great deception. There's a deceiver. Jesus says in John 10, I've come to have life. They might have it to the full. But the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. That's the work of evil. But Jesus says, don't be overcome. Don't be overcome. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Why is there evil in the world? Well, there is one who opposes God, a great spiritual force called the enemy. He likes to deceive people, even people in the church. But don't be overcome by evil. Our God is greater. Greater is he who is in me and you, the church, than he who is in the world. Amen? Amen. We boast in Christ. In this section, I have a confession. We have a confession. I don't want to be heavy, but we need to at least be aware of this. We all react in evil ways. We have limited knowledge of God's will. We can have zeal, we can have passion, just like Peter did, but we have limited knowledge at times, and we get blinded by the temporary. Jesus says, I have to go to the cross where they're going to crucify me. And Peter says, no way, it'll never happen. Not when I'm beside you. And Peter received these words from Jesus. You know them. What did he say? Get behind me, Satan. Oh, crushing. He was distracting the Lord from his will. Jesus said to his disciples in John 18:11, he was captured by Roman soldiers, and they wanted to return this injustice with another injustice, and they pulled out their swords. They returned evil for evil, and Jesus says, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? All limited sight by the disciples. They didn't know the Father's will. We can sometimes step into that and be zealous and passionate without remembering or even completely knowing the Father's will. At times, we've got to confess, I was wrong. I was wrong. Our reactions reveal our imperfect ways. Mark 7:20-23, Jesus is teaching. He says, for it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality. Jesus, this is Jesus' words. Theft, murder, adultery. You're thinking, I'm pretty good so far, right? Greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. These are Jesus' words. But I'm telling you this morning, don't be overcome by evil. Even Paul, the one who wrote this, earlier in this letter, just flip back to Romans 7. he does this whole thing about what he wants to do versus what he does. And he concludes in Romans 7:19, why do I do the evil I don't want to do? Paul confesses himself, like, listen, it's going to come from you sometimes. Just because you still battle the desires of the flesh, the temporary pushes in, you have that. But don't be overcome by evil. When we do this, when we engage in evil, confess it. Confess it when we recognize it's wrong. The Holy Spirit will let you know it's wrong. If you have ears to hear and you read the scripture, he'll let you know and you move on. Saying, thank you, Jesus, because you have overcome my sin. Jesus was not overcome by evil, but he overcame evil by good. God was preparing me for this sermon in the beginning of October. I'm reading through Isaiah and the prophet, and I had a pause as I was reading scripture, and I wrote in my journal the thought, because the evil in the world can be overcoming to me, and I'm like, oh gosh, what are we doing? What's the good? Right? And then I thought a different thought. I thought, God, I only see a bit of this. You see it all. You see everything. God, how are you not overcome with all this? And then I was just given like six statements. I'm just going to share them with you. Here's one. Not all evildoers remain as they are. Paul. He didn't remain Saul. He was changed to Paul. Not all evildoers remain as they are. There's conversions. There's transformation in us. That's potential, right? God sees potential. Those who experience evil can find hope, comfort, strength in Jesus. We talk about Romans, back in Romans 5, Paul talks about how suffering produces perseverance, faith, and then hope. We walk through hard times, we can have things shifted in our minds, and we can find the one who says, come to me, all who are weary. Sometimes God also uses evil or evildoers or evil kingdoms to discipline his people. Hence the message of Isaiah, Babylon was going to come in and discipline. Babylon, a wicked, evil people, were going to come in and discipline Israel. Of course, I thought of myself. He says even our followers participate with evil at times. I recognize that there's a deceiver out there. There was one who deceives and causes evil to look desirable. But God also sees the good that's happening in the world. Don't be overcome by evil. Don't participate with it. Recognize it, but don't be overcome. Our God is greater. Our God has died on the cross to pay for all your sinful acts. He's overcome that already. And guess what? The victory is secure. He is alive. He rose from the dead on the third day. Don't be overcome by evil. Our story's not over here. Even if we lived in first century Rome and we were hauled off to the Colosseum and lined up and they let the lions and tigers go and the bears. Boom, boom, boom. We're all wiped out. That's not the end. We're not overcome here because guess what? I'm going to live forever with the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's the story. That's the only way, the only reason I can come up with why there isn't just great despair around the world for Christians who are being persecuted because they're a Christian and killed. It's not the end. This is a temporary world. Don't be overcome by evil. Okay? That was heavy. Sorry. But it's in here. We have to deal with it. Now, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Let's talk about it. The word sincere encourages all of us to action. Love for God and love for others is incomplete if it's only limited to speech. I love you. I love you too. I don't do anything beyond that statement. Action, action, action. The word love in this first use here in verse 9 is the word agape. Agape. That's the sacrificial love of God for his people and for his people to others, even enemies, to reflect God. It's a sacrificial love. Paul is calling the church to action. It's a very difficult place to live as followers of Jesus in a very diverse demographic of believers. Paul appeals to love to be the difference maker. Not great speeches, passionate cries, love. Love each other. He says, love must be sincere. Sometimes I think we overemphasize speaking, spending more energy attempting to defend our positions as a means to convert those who don't think like us, compared to displaying the actions of Jesus and the kingdom and letting those actions speak for themselves. It makes me wonder, are actions louder than words? Paul's teaching here echoes the words of our Lord, who said this in John 13. He says, a new command I give you. And they sat in, they listened. What is this going to be? A new command. He says, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're with me, that you're my disciples, if you love one another. You want to let the world know that we are with Christ? Yep, let's do it. Let's let the world know that we're with Christ. Let's love one another in the example of Christ. In our families, here together, and then staggeringly to those in our community who maybe, I don't know, don't deserve our service, our humility, our love, or even those who persecute us. Let's love them back. I wonder sometimes, God, what is your will? I wonder, am I or are we making any difference for you? What impact are we having with our lives, with our families, with our 53 years in this world? Sometimes, as you do, I long for clarity in a decision or wanting to know just how to act faithfully. And then I read a passage like this and I'm like, well, there it is. There it is. Here's what you are to do. It contains a lot for us to think about as we live our lives together. Again, we live in a land of plenty, and we trend towards individualistic lifestyles. You could live at home ordering food and not come out of your house for a month. It's possible. Not interacting with other people. It's possible. We could do it. This list flushes out sincere love. It challenges me. It's going to challenge you. 18 things for us to consider as we seek to be transformed into God's will by offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. 18 things. All right, you can't handle all of them all at once. I mean, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll throw up. 18 things. Blah, I can't do them any. Oh, I can't do them all. I can't do any. So listen to this list and say, there might be something here that's pressing into you that you say, oh, yeah, I can do that. I'm gifted to do that, or I'm not. But we should consider all of these and how we interact together. Before each of these statements, I find it helpful to state, love must be sincere, reminding us to act and not just speak. So love must be sincere. Let's hate what's evil and cling to what is good. We let God's word describe what is good and what is evil. But let's not be too quick to go out and say, you're evil. Oh, you are evil. I'm evil at times. I act evilly. But actually, God sees us in a much different light in Christ. He sees potential in people. He sees people made in our image. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. This is good. It's good. Remind yourself it's good to serve others. It's good. This is the example of Jesus. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Different word here used for love. Guess what? Philadelphia is in the Bible. Philadelphia, brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in family, brotherly love. When you think of devotion and love, do you not think about marriage? You think about love between parents and children, brothers and sisters in Christ. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. Sincere love. Honor one another above yourselves. Sincere love, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Man, there's times, maybe I'm the only one, but there's times where I'm less passionate than others. There's times where I feel like, how many times do I have to do this? What's going on? I'm tired. And I think I can be overcome by stuff in the world. And I lose that. But you, when you turn and look back to Jesus and what he has done and what he asks you to do through his power living in you and what the potential is, oh, zeal returns. Keep it. Keep it by looking to Jesus. Don't be lukewarm. Be zeal. Be zealous. On fire in the right direction. Sincere love is joyful in hope. Joyful in hope. I've told some people recently that I want more joy in my life, desiring joy. I think the expectation is that we should have joy if we know Christ and we know his sacrifice. We should be living lives of joy. But it's hard to be joyful when the government is pressing down upon you in Rome. When you don't have food to eat, you live in this cramped apartment building that easily catches on fire, floods come into our city, it's hard to be joyful when you know that your family member was just killed because they wouldn't bow before the emperor and worship him. What steals your joy? The grocery bill? What steals your joy? The car breaking down? Kids that won't listen, running around, yelling. Can I get some peace and quiet and joy up in here? What steals your joy? He says, be joyful in hope. No matter what's going on in your life, if you look to what we have in Christ, his victory, his love for us, his resurrection, we have an unshakable hope that we have. Because it's based upon not our circumstances, it's upon his actions. Be joyful in hope. Not the circumstances aren't producing joy, but I have a hope that produces joy. Be joyful in hope. They absolutely needed to say that in first century Rome. The circumstances weren't good for a lot of the people there. Not good. He says, be patient in affliction. Are you kidding me, Paul? Be patient in affliction. Pain or suffering. Be patient in affliction. The persecuted church today, Nigeria, China, Syria, North Korea. Sincere love demonstrates itself in patience. Be faithful in prayer. You got to have prayer involved in this. We're being transformed now. And just thinking, which of these things do I need to include in my life so that my love is more sincere? Be faithful in prayer. Bless those who... Oh, I skipped. Be faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Some of you are really good at this one, like inviting people into the building and being very hospitable or your homes for meals. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. How can we do this, Paul? Not in your strength, but the power of God living within you. How do you do this? My reaction when someone persecutes me or says something against me is to go right back. Right back. Paul says, listen, hold on. Well, first of all, let's think about sincere love. Represent Christ. Bless them. Bless them. You don't have to agree maybe with them or whatever. But at least pause and think about the example of Jesus before you return what they just gave you. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Are we living in harmony with each other here? Anybody fighting over parking spaces out there or over pews? First in line, kids to the snack bar downstairs? Brothers and sisters? Okay. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful what to do is right in the eyes of everyone. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone? What is right? What is right to display Jesus in his kingdom? What's right for this body? What's right for the homeless? For the immigrant? For the pregnant mother? For the physically sick? What's right for the lonely? I don't know. I don't know. What did Jesus? I don't know. I think about Jesus. He met with a Samaritan woman. He also went and cared for a Roman centurion, a woman who was bleeding, lepers, Pharisees. He ate with tax collectors. Jesus knew what was right. Live at peace with everyone as long as it depends on you. You can't control everyone else, but you can control you. With God's help, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge. There's some very particular and specific ways we could talk about returning evil for evil with the violence measures in this world. We're called to a higher kingdom. We're not to solve violence and overcome fear with measures of violence. Do not take revenge. Sincere love is the example of Jesus. And here's what's staggering. This is not supposed to be a burdensome list. It's a lot there. I mean, you can't. I told you, it's a lot. It's 18 statements. Think about what applies to you right now in your situation. But listen, all of these can be best defined through Jesus. And sincere love is the power that changes the world. It's a person-to-person type thing. It's relational. In the first century Roman church, the wealthy property owner who worships besides the slave displays a love that's radically different than the culture. In the culture, there's no way those two would be together or sharing a meal. And yet, worshiping together in Christ, they're side by side, caring for one another. That is radically different. The feeding of the hungry, the housing of the homeless, the nonviolent response to violence, the display of joy despite the horrible conditions of the temporary make the church stand out in an evil world. It makes it like a light on a hill to people who are looking for answers. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As you mull over this sermon, as you think about it, you ask, am I participating with evil? And if you are, confess it and repent of it. Another is to inspect if you're trending towards being overwhelmed with evil. If you're overwhelmed, if you feel overwhelmed today, you've been in this state, I invite you to ask for prayer. Say, will you pray for me? I just can't, there's so much stuff going on in my life or I'm hearing these things, I can't handle it. Will you pray with me? And the person who's praying for that person, I'm going to let that up to you to handle out. You can come to me after the service or someone else, but listen, the prayer is, You just pray and remind them of Jesus. Jesus, would you draw near and you be Christ to them and through that prayer time. May hope invade the darkness and produce joy. We have a living hope that can't be taken from this world, right? We have a living hope that can't be taken from this world. Don't let the world steal our joy. Don't be overcome by evil, but let's overcome evil with good in the example of Jesus Christ. That's the message today. That transforms us from just going through life, surviving, to have a great purpose, the kingdom's purpose. We're ambassadors. We're ministers of reconciliation. We are light and salt to the world. Amen? Is God done with his great work and action in this world? No. He has done great things, but he is still doing great things as people come to Jesus Christ through the light of the world. Praise team, will you come up? Holy Spirit of God, will you inspect us and convict us and transform us into the likeness of Jesus so that we can know and do God's will? Amen and amen.